from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Baseball coverage on 610 Sports Radio presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Big series, sweep series, 2 out of 3 series. How does this go for you, Mr. Fesco, with the Cubs coming in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Well, I think it's a losing team, and the old adage is you keep the losing teams losing. After losing 2 or 3 to Arizona, you got to bounce back and take, you know, all 3 from the Chicago Cubs. I think this is the time of the year. We talked about it yesterday, dude. There's only 59 games to go on the schedule, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not gaining any more games. There's no, it's early. There's no more, we can make it up. Like, these are the games that you have to take care of business in. And I think they become very important, in my opinion anyway, because the Cleveland Indians are getting ready to open a 3-game series against Philadelphia, right? And mm-hmm. Philadelphia, as we know, is the best team in baseball. And
in it, Philly this time.
Yeah, right. And so, and that's a tough place to go in and try to play. So I think right now Cleveland is probably going to drop at least 2, probably 3 to Philadelphia. You have an opportunity to make up ground. You made up a half game last night because the team from Cleveland lost, and so mm-hmm. you picked up a half a game in the standings last night. This is an opportunity to gain ground. And again, if you're going to be a serious playoff contender, you have to take care of business against teams that have waved the white flag. And earlier in this week, the Chicago Cubs said, well, we're playing for more than 24 now. So they're waving the white flag. They're not a very good baseball team. You got to go out there and take care of business against them and not let these 3 games get away.
This is one of those things where you just kind of have to know your wealth. You have to know your clout. You have to know where you've been all year, and you're coming off a frustrating series that ended the way that you didn't. You started off hot. There was mm-hmm. a little bit of tempers flaring. Didn't answer the call the very next day. Didn't answer the call on Wednesday. Had a couple questions, and now you play a team from the National League that has nothing to play for except maybe spoiler or trying to keep their names hot in a trade market. And this is where you see a different version of the Royals that you've seen in the last 7-8 years. This is a team now that knows that they can get to the promised land. They still have a 1-game lead over Boston in the world in the wild card setting. Mm-hmm. They're still a game behind Minnesota.
And Boston opens a series with the Yankees this weekend.
Right, yeah. And Cleveland, which the Yankees are struggling.
Mightily.
And the Cleveland Guardians gave you a pass yesterday. They narrowed the gap from 6 to 5.5. They go to Philadelphia, where they just took, it seems like they just played Philadelphia like earlier this week. But they're going to go to Philadelphia. They play a World Series contending team. They're also a World Series contending team. I believe Cleveland is the number one team in the AL versus the number one team in the NL.
Yep.
And really what the Royals have to do is, you know, maybe not, you know, ease back on the scoreboard watching, but just play the Cubs where you're fantastic at home. I think they're 35-20 at home. Bobby Witt Jr. hits out of this world at home. He's still on fire. We see if that continues. And then the questions that we get to see tonight, I think if it's a close game, is how the skipper's going to use that bullpen now that we've seen kind of the hiccup again from MacArthur. Is this going to be one of those, if Bubich is in the eighth and Harvey's in the ninth or vice versa, is that the new standard for the bullpen? That's, Bob, what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bobby Witt hitting is one of those things that I'll still keep an eye on. Salvador Perez, as he hit a bomb tonight. But more so importantly, how's that eighth and ninth inning orchestrated if it is presented in a way that is sort of a setup and a hold and save role?
Yeah, and I don't think we have the answer to that question, Dusty, because I don't think we have a clear-cut closer, obviously, or a clear-cut eighth inning guy. I think they're still going to play those matchup games and see who's coming up for the Cubs, who matches up best with those guys, right? Like, that's why they have the analytics and the numbers and stuff like that, and I'm good with that. You kind of look at, you know, who hits well off of this guy, who doesn't. You don't want to have those matchups. So you try to kind of play the matchup situation, you know, with the Cubs, and nobody's earned the right to be the eighth inning guy or the ninth inning guy, right? Yeah. Like, nobody's gone out there and asserted themselves like, this is the guy. You've seen glimpses from this guy, glimpses from that guy, glimpses from this guy, and glimpses from that guy. But here we are with 59 games to go, and nobody's emerged as that closer. So I don't know that you have to try to fit a square peg into a round hole right now because you don't have that guy. I still think you have to go with matchups and who you feel gives you the best opportunity to get those out. The other interesting one for me is going to be the leadoff hitter now. You and I mm-hmm. talked about it, you know, earlier in the week, and I know that they're having discussions, I'm sure, about what the best possible situation is for that leadoff spot. And we suggested Michael Massey to be that guy. The only negative drawback to Massey is he's not real selective up at the plate, and you'd like your leadoff guy to kind of work the count a little bit. But that's something that can be worked on. I would love to see them give Massey that opportunity to be the leadoff hitter tonight, because I do think he gets on base a lot, and I think he could be a great table setter for Witt and for Vinny and for Salvi in that lineup if he's able to get on. And as we know, if the leadoff hitter gets on in this lineup, we're talking about an automatic 1-0 lead already, unless, you know, you're batting second and they already scored. But you know right. what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get a run.
The other thing, too, is we get start number two of the quote-unquote second half of the season for Brady Singer. Started off great, pitches tonight, gets the slab,
yep.
gets to see if he can be that guy that we've seen throughout his career, at least when he was the only one on the staff, when the Royals would lose two or three in a row, it was Brady that would come in and kind of snap that losing skid. Mm-hmm. We'll see that tonight with Brady on the mound. But, you know, you hit a tune, is like, when the lineup gets released today, probably around 3:00,
right.
we'll see who's in the leadoff sure. spot. Will it be the Kyle Isbell experience? Will it be, again, another try with Garrett Hampson? Will it be, you know, Frazier?
Right.
But again, like, when we say there's nothing set in stone, I'm with you on that, but I'm also to the point where, like, we bring up the narrative of time is running out,
mm-hmm.
and this is also kind of a good problem to have because it's competitiveness inside competitiveness, right? The team is competitive within the AL because they believe that they have earned and played their way to be a playoff team, at least give them a chance to get a, you know, a little spark going in postseason. The other thing, too, is that you have competition with inside as well, because now somebody has to have the cojones and say, damn it, I'm the closer. I'm going to go out there and prove it. I'm going to mow three guys down to where Q has got to be like, okay, we're going to keep using you in this role until elsewise. Also, Hunter Harvey,
yeah,
you still have something to prove to this team that was a trade acquisition, which I'm sure the locker room has accepted you with open arms, but also there's always a moment.
Fans are already on edge with this Harvey guy, yeah, too, right? I've seen that a lot.
Doing just fine. I get it. It's not the most clean inning when he's out there, but maybe this is something that kind of amps up him as well, where it's like, hey, I'm either the eighth inning or the ninth inning guy. The other guy that's in or before or after me is the other guy. We're going to work together as a cohesive unit, and we're going to hold ground, and we're going to be that, you know, safety block that when it gets ninth, we know it's us, and we're going to bring this team in. And if you ever want to win over a fan base, all you got to do is go out there and perform. And if you do that against the Cubs and they sweep and you're a viable part of that because you give people time to relax, be able to go outside and grab that other beer out of the cooler, come back in, be like, all right, two down, 10 mm-hmm. pitches, we got this.
Or you could just go out as an offense and explode for 10 runs early and not have to worry about
that's
the bullpen.
That's also a thing.
You know, you could do that as well.
And we've seen them do that.
But see, I think people like there's so many misconceptions in sports, right? Like mm-hmm. we always look at sports as like the surface area, surface level. And we all, and I know Josh dealt with this for years. I had to kind of talk him off ledges all the time. Mm-hmm. We all want our closers to be Mariano Rivera.
Wade Davis.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. But Wade Davis wasn't perfect. Mariano Rivera wasn't perfect either, right? Like, there's never been an athlete that's been perfect in any sport at any time, anywhere, right? Sports, baseball especially, is a game of failure, right? How do you respond from that failure? And so Mariano Rivera is the only person in the history of Major League Baseball to get 100% of the Hall of Fame vote. So that tells you how good he is. Mm-hmm. Wade Davis was about as automatic as you could get for basically two seasons. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the shelf life for a closer. Rivera, again, the outlier in all that. So when we sit around and go, well, I wish we had Wade Davis, Mariano Rivera, those are two anomalies. And baseball's been around for, I don't know, longer than, you know, Earth maybe. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of people that have been in that position, that have been the closer, that have been, you know, tasked with getting outs in the ninth inning. And more often than not, these guys just aren't perfect. And so if you get through the game and you're able to still win the game, that's all that matters. We got to stop looking for that perfect closer, because I just don't believe that guy currently on this roster especially exists. And if he does in baseball, unless it's Oakland and it's that Miller kid, nobody's trading guys at this point in time that can shut down the ninth inning of a game, because those last three outs are so damn hard to get.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Over under for Bobby Wood Jr. hits this weekend. You going over or under 8.5?
That's a great number, Dusty.
I was about to say that was a really good number.
That's a really good number.
Over would be an average of 3 hits a game, which is what he did the last week.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with the over. Screw it. Let's go with the over on that one.
He might have that tonight.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Why not? Let's go.
Let's go over. Yeah. So that means he gets 3 hits in each game this weekend.
That's what he's on par for.
That's what he's on pace for. Yeah. I'll take the over on that one.
If he gets 4 tonight, okay, great. I'm feeling good.
Oh, 4 tonight, you should be. You'd be jamming. He's got to get, you know, 5 more in 2
five
games.
5 more in 2 games. That's nothing for Bobby Witt, right?
That's a crazy Saturday.
You throw
6
a grain
start.
Of sand up there, he's hitting that thing out of the ballpark. Let's go.
No kidding.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball coverage on 610 Sports Radio, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Big series, sweep series, 2 out of 3 series. How does this go for you, Mr. Fesco, with the Cubs coming in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Well, I think it's a losing team, and the old adage is you keep the losing teams losing. After losing 2 or 3 to Arizona, you got to bounce back and take, you know, all 3 from the Chicago Cubs. I think this is the time of the year. We talked about it yesterday, dude. There's only 59 games to go on the schedule, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not gaining any more games. There's no, it's early. There's no more, we can make it up. Like, these are the games that you have to take care of business in. And I think they become become very important, in my opinion anyway, because the Cleveland Indians are getting ready to open a three-game series against Philadelphia, right? And Philadelphia, as we know, is the best team in baseball. And
Philly this time.
Yeah, right. And so, and that's a tough place to go in and try to play. So I think right now Cleveland is probably going to drop at least two, probably three to Philadelphia. You have an opportunity to make up ground. You made up a half game last night because the team from Cleveland lost, and so you picked up a half a game in the standings last night. This is an opportunity to gain ground. And again, if you're going to be a serious playoff contender, you have to take care of business against teams that have waved the white flag. And earlier in this week, the Chicago Cubs said, well, we're playing for more than 24 now. So they're waving the white flag. They're not a very good baseball team. You got to go out there and take care of business against them and not let these three games get away.
This is one of those things where you just kind of have to know your wealth. You have to know your clout. You have to know where you've been all year. And you're coming off a frustrating series that ended the way that you didn't. You started off hot. There was a little bit of tempers flaring. Didn't answer the call the very next day. Didn't answer the call on Wednesday. Had a couple questions. And now you play a team from the National League that has nothing to play for except maybe spoiler or trying to keep their names hot in a trade market. And this is where you see a different version of the Royals that you've seen in the last 7-8 years. This is a team now that knows that they can get to the promised land. They still have a one game lead over Boston in the world in the wild card setting. They're still a game behind Minnesota.
And Boston then, opens a series with the Yankees this weekend.
Right. Yeah. And Cleveland, which the Yankees are struggling.
Mightily.
And the Cleveland Guardians gave you a pass yesterday. They narrowed the gap from 6 to 5.5. They go to Philadelphia where they just took, it seems like they just played Philadelphia like earlier this week. But they're going to go to Philadelphia. They play a World Series contending team. They're also a World Series contending team. I believe Cleveland is the number one team in the AL versus the number one team in the NL.
Yep.
And really what the Royals have to do is, you know, maybe not, you know, ease back on the scoreboard watching, but just play the Cubs where you're fantastic at home. I think they're 35-20 at home. Bobby Witt Jr. hits out of this world at home. He's still on fire. We see if that continues. And then the questions that we get to see tonight, I think if it's a close game, is how the skipper's going to use that bullpen now that we've seen kind of the hiccup again from MacArthur. Is this going to be one of those, if Bubich is in the eighth and Harvey's in the ninth or vice versa, is that the new standard for the bullpen? That's, Bob, what I'm looking forward to. Obviously, Bobby Witt hitting is one of those things that I'll still keep an eye on. Salvador Perez, as he hit a bomb tonight. But more so importantly, how's that eighth and ninth inning orchestrated if it is presented in a way that is sort of a setup and a hold and save role?
Yeah, and I don't think we have the answer to that question, Dusty, because I don't think we have a clear-cut closer, obviously, or a clear-cut eighth inning guy. I think they're still going to play those matchup games and see who's coming up for the Cubs, who matches up best with those guys, right? Like, that's why they have the analytics and the numbers and stuff like that, and I'm good with that. You kind of look at, you know, who hits well off of this guy, who doesn't. You don't want to have those matchups. So you try to kind of play the matchup situation, you know, with the Cubs, and nobody's earned the right to be the eighth inning guy or the ninth inning guy, right? Yeah. Like, nobody's gone out there and asserted themselves like, this is the guy. You've seen glimpses from this guy, glimpses from that guy, glimpses from this guy, and glimpses from that guy. But here we are with 59 games to go, and nobody's emerged as that closer. So I don't know that you have to try to fit a square peg into a round hole right now because you don't have that guy. I still think you have to go with matchups and who you feel gives you the best opportunity to get those out. The other interesting one for me is going to be the leadoff hitter now. You and I talked about it, you know, earlier in the week, and I know that they're having discussions, I'm sure, about what the best possible situation is for that leadoff spot. And we suggested Michael Massey to be that guy. The only negative drawback to Massey is he's not real selective up at the plate, and you'd like your leadoff guy to kind of work the count a little bit. But that's something that can be worked on. I would love to see them give Massey that opportunity to be the leadoff hitter tonight because I do think he gets on base a lot, and I think he could be a great table setter for Witt and for Vinny and for Salvi in that lineup if he's able to get on. And as we know, if the leadoff hitter gets on in this lineup, we're talking about an automatic 1-0 lead already, unless, you know, you're batting second and they already scored. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get a run.
The other thing, too, is we get start number two of the quote-unquote second half of the season for Brady Singer. Started off great, pitches tonight, gets the slab, gets to see if he can be that guy that we've seen throughout his career, at least when he was the only one on the staff, when the Royals would lose two or three in a row, it was Brady that would come in and kind of snap that losing skid. We'll see that tonight with Brady on the mound. But, you know, you hit a tune is like, when the lineup gets released today, probably around 3 o'clock,
right,
we'll see who's in the leadoff spot. Will it be the Kyle Isbell experience? Will it be, again, another try with Garrett Hampson? Will it be, you know, Frazier?
Right.
But again, like, when we say there's nothing set in stone, I'm with you on that, but I'm also to the point where, like, we bring up the narrative of time is running out, and this is also kind of a good problem to have because it's competitiveness inside competitiveness, right? The team is competitive within the AL because they believe that they have earned and played their way to be a playoff team, at least give them a chance to get a little spark going in postseason. The other thing, too, is that you have competition with inside as well because now somebody has to have the cojones and say, damn it, I'm the closer. I'm going to go out there and prove it. I'm going to mow three guys down to where Q has got to be like, okay, we're going to keep using you in this role until elsewise. Also, Hunter Harvey,
yeah,
you still have something to prove to this team that was a trade acquisition, which I'm sure the locker room has accepted you with open arms, but also there's always a moment.
Fans are already on edge with this Harvey guy, yeah, too, right? I've seen that a lot.
Doing just fine. I get it. It's not the most clean inning when he's out there, but maybe this is something that kind of amps up him as well, where it's like, hey, I'm either the eighth inning or the ninth inning guy. The other guy that's in or before or after me is the other guy. We're going to work together as a cohesive unit, and we're going to hold ground, and we're going to be that, you know, safety block that when it gets ninth, we know it's us, and we're going to bring this team in. And if you ever want to win over a fan base, all you got to do is go out there and perform. And if you do that against the Cubs and they sweep and you're a viable part of that because you give people time to relax, be able to go outside and grab that other beer out of the cooler, come back in, be like, all right, two down, 10 pitches. We got this.
Or you could just go out as an offense and explode for 10 runs early and not have to worry about
that. That's also a thing.
You know, you could do that as well.
And we've seen them do that.
But see, I think people like there's so many misconceptions in sports, right? Like we always look at sports as like the surface area, surface level. And I know Josh dealt with this for years. I had to kind of talk him off ledges all the time. Mm-hmm. We all want our closers to be Mariano Rivera.
Or Wade Davis.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. But Wade Davis wasn't perfect. Mariano Rivera wasn't perfect either, right? Like there's never been an athlete that's been perfect in any sport at any time, anywhere, right? Sports, baseball especially, is a game of failure, right? How do you respond from that failure? And so Mariano Rivera is the only person in the history of Major League Baseball to get 100% of the Hall of Fame vote. So that tells you how good he is. Mm-hmm. Wade Davis was about as automatic as you could get for basically two seasons. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the shelf life for a closer. Rivera, again, the outlier in all that. So when we sit around and go, well, I wish we had Wade Davis, Mariano Rivera, those are two anomalies. And baseball's been around for, I don't know, longer than, you know, Earth maybe. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of people that have been in that position, that have been the closer, that have been, you know, tasked with getting outs in the ninth inning. And more often than not, these guys just aren't perfect. And so if you get through the game and you're able to still win the game, that's all that matters. We got to stop looking for that perfect closer because I just don't believe that guy currently on this roster especially exists. And if he does in baseball, unless it's Oakland and it's that Miller kid, nobody's trading guys at this point in time that can shut down the ninth inning of a game because those last three outs are so damn hard to get.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Over under for Bobby Wood Jr. hits this weekend. You going over or under 8.5?
That's a great number, Dusty.
I was about to say that was a really good number.
That's a really good number.
Over would be an average of 3 hits a game, which is what he did last week.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with the over. Screw it. Let's go with the over on that one.
He might have that tonight.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Why not? Let's go.
Let's go over. Yeah. So that means he gets 3 hits in each game this weekend.
That's what he's on par for.
That's what he's on pace for. Yeah. I'll take the over on that one.
If he gets 4 tonight, okay, great. I'm feeling good.
Oh, 4 tonight, you should be. You'd be jamming. You got to get 5 more in 2 games.
5 more in 2 games. That's nothing for Bobby Witt, right?
That's a Saturday.
You throw
a
grain
start.
Of sand up there, he's hitting that thing out of the ballpark. Let's go.
No kidding. Baseball coverage on 610 Sports Radio presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Big series, sweep series, 2 out of 3 series. How does this go for you, Mr. Fesco, with the Cubs coming in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Well, I think it's a losing team, and the old adage is you keep the losing teams losing. After losing 2 or 3 to Arizona, you got to bounce back and take, you know, all 3 from the Chicago Cubs. I think this is the time of the year. We talked about it yesterday, dude. There's only 59 games to go on the schedule, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not gaining any more games. There's no, it's early. There's no more, we can make it up. Like, these are the games that you have to take care of business in. And I think they become very important, in my opinion anyway, because the Cleveland Indians are getting ready to open a 3-game series against Philadelphia, right? And Philadelphia, as we know, is the best team in baseball. And
Philly this time.
Yeah, right. And so, and that's a tough place to go in and try to play. So I think right now, Cleveland is probably going to drop at least 2, probably 3 to Philadelphia. You have an opportunity to make up ground. You made up a half game last night because the team from Cleveland lost, and so you picked up a half a game in the standings last night. This is an opportunity to gain ground. And again, if you're going to be a serious playoff contender, you have to take care of business against teams that have waved the white flag. And earlier in this week, the Chicago Cubs said, well, we're playing for more than 24 now. So they're waving the white flag. They're not a very good baseball team. You got to go out there and take care of business against them and not let these 3 games get away.
This is one of those things where you just kind of have to know your wealth. You have to know your clout. You have to know where you've been all year. And you're coming off a frustrating series that ended the way that you didn't. You started off hot. There was a little bit of tempers flaring. Didn't answer the call the very next day. Didn't answer the call on Wednesday. Had a couple questions. And now you play a team from the National League that has nothing to play for except maybe spoiler or trying to keep their names hot in a trade market. And this is where you see a different version of the Royals that you've seen in the last 7-8 years. This is a team now that knows that they can get to the promised land. They still have a 1-game lead over Boston in the world in the wild card setting. Mm-hmm. They're still a game behind Minnesota.
And Boston then, opens a series with the Yankees this weekend.
Right, yeah. And Cleveland, which the Yankees are struggling.
Mightily.
And the Cleveland Guardians gave you a pass yesterday. They narrowed the gap from 6 to 5.5. They go to Philadelphia where they just took, it seems like they just played Philadelphia like earlier this week. But they're going to go to Philadelphia. They play a World Series contending team. They're also a World Series contending team. I believe Cleveland is the number one team in the AL versus the number one team in the NL.
Yep.
And really what the Royals have to do is, you know, maybe not, you know, ease back on the scoreboard watching, but just play the Cubs where you're fantastic at home. I think they're 35-20 at home. Bobby Witt Jr. hits out of this world at home. He's still on fire. We see if that continues. And then the questions that we get to see tonight, I think if it's a close game, is how the skipper's going to use that bullpen now that we've seen kind of the hiccup again from MacArthur. Is this going to be one of those, if Bubich is in the 8th and Harvey's in the 9th or vice versa, is that the new standard for the bullpen? That's, Bob, what I'm looking forward to. Obviously Bobby Witt hitting is one of those things that I'll still keep an eye on. Salvador Perez, as he hit a bomb tonight, but more so importantly, how's that 8th and 9th inning orchestrated if it is presented in a way that is sort of a setup and a hold and save role?
Yeah, and I don't think we have the answer to that question, Dusty, because I don't think we have a clear-cut closer, obviously, or a clear-cut 8th inning guy. I think they're still going to play those matchup games and see who's coming up for the Cubs, who matches up best with those guys, right? Like, that's why they have the analytics and the numbers and stuff like that, and I'm good with that. You kind of look at, you know, who hits well off of this guy, who doesn't. You don't want to have those matchups. So you try to kind of play the matchup situation, you know, with the Cubs, and nobody's earned the right to be the 8th inning guy or the 9th inning guy, right? Yeah. Like, nobody's gone out there and asserted themselves like, this is the guy. You've seen glimpses from this guy, glimpses from that guy, glimpses from this guy, and glimpses from that guy. But here we are with 59 games to go, and nobody's emerged as that closer. So I don't know that you have to try to fit a square peg into a round hole right now because you don't have that guy. I still think you have to go with matchups and who you feel gives you the best opportunity to get those out. The other interesting one for me is going to be the leadoff hitter now. You and I talked about it, you know, earlier in the week, and I know that they're having discussions, I'm sure, about what the best possible situation is for that leadoff spot. And we suggested Michael Massey to be that guy. The only negative drawback to Massey is he's not real selective up at the plate, and you'd like your leadoff guy to kind of work the count a little bit. But that's something that can be worked on. I would love to see them give Massey that opportunity to be the leadoff hitter tonight, because I do think he gets on base a lot, and I think he could be a great table setter for Witt and for Vinny and for Salvi in that lineup if he's able to get on. And as we know, if the leadoff hitter gets on in this lineup, we're talking about an automatic 1-0 lead already, unless, you know, you're batting second and they already scored. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get a run.
The other thing, too, is we get start number two of the quote unquote second half of the season for Brady Singer. Started off great, pitches tonight, gets the slab.
Yep.
Gets to see if he can be that guy that we've seen throughout his career, at least when he was the only one on the staff, when the Royals would lose two or three in a row, it was Brady that would come in and kind of snap that losing skid.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that tonight with Brady on the mound. But, you know, you hit a tune is like when the lineup gets released today, probably around 3 o'clock.
Right.
We'll see who's in the leadoff spot. Will it be the Kyle Isbell experience? Will it be again another try with Garrett Hampson? Will it be, you know, Frazier?
Right.
But again, like when we say there's nothing set in stone, I'm with you on that. But I'm also to the point where like we bring up the narrative of time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also kind of a good problem to have because it's competitiveness inside competitiveness, right? The team is competitive within the AL because they believe that they have earned and played their way to be a playoff team, at least give them a chance to get a little spark going in postseason. The other thing, too, is that you have competition with inside as well because now somebody has to have the cojones and say, damn it, I'm the closer. I'm going to go out there and prove it. I'm going to mow three guys down to where Q has got to be like, okay, we're going to keep using you in this role until elsewise. Also, Hunter Harvey,
yeah,
you still have something to prove to this team that was a trade acquisition, which I'm sure the locker room has accepted you with open arms, but also there's always a moment.
Fans are already on edge with this Harvey guy, right? I've seen that a lot.
Doing just fine. I get it. It's not the most clean inning when he's out there, but maybe this is something that kind of amps up him as well, where it's like, hey, I'm either the eighth inning or the ninth inning guy. The other guy that's in or before or after me is the other guy. We're going to work together as a cohesive unit, and we're going to hold ground, and we're going to be that, you know, safety block that when it ninth, we know it's us, and we're going to bring this team in. And if you ever want to win over a fan base, all you got to do is go out there and perform. And if you do that against the Cubs and they sweep and you're a viable part of that because you give people time to relax, be able to go outside and grab that other beer out of the cooler, come back in, be like, all right, two down, 10 pitches. We got this.
Or you could just go out as an offense and explode for 10 runs early and not have to worry about
that. That's
the bullpen.
Also a thing.
You know, you could do that as well.
And we've seen them do that.
But see, I think people like there's so many misconceptions in sports, right? Like mm-hmm. we always look at sports as like the surface area, surface level. And we all, and I know Josh dealt with this for years. I had to kind of talk him off ledges all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We all want our closers to be Mariano Rivera.
Or Wade Davis.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. But Wade Davis wasn't perfect. Mariano Rivera wasn't perfect either, right? Like there's never been an athlete that's been perfect in any sport at any time, anywhere, right? Sports, baseball especially, is a game of failure, right? How do you respond from that failure? And so Mariano Rivera is the only person in the history of Major League Baseball to get 100% of the Hall of Fame vote. So that tells you how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Wade Davis was about as automatic as you could get for basically two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the shelf life for a closer. Rivera, again, the outlier in all that. So when we sit around and go, well, I wish we had Wade Davis, Mariano Rivera, those are two anomalies. And baseball's been around for, I don't know, longer than, you know, Earth maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of people that have been in that position, that have been the closer, that have been, you know, tasked with getting outs in the ninth inning. And more often than not, these guys just aren't perfect. And so if you get through the game and you're able to still win the game, that's all that matters. We got to stop looking for that perfect closer because I just don't believe that guy currently on this roster especially exists. And if he does in baseball, unless it's Oakland and it's that Miller kid, nobody's trading guys at this point in time that can shut down the ninth inning of a game because those last three outs are so damn hard to get.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAF, HD2, Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Over under for Bobby Wood Jr. hits this weekend. You going over or under 8.5?
That's a great number, Dusty.
I was about to say that was a really good number.
That's a really good number.
Over would be an average of 3 hits a game, which is what he did the last week.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with the over. Screw it. Let's go with the over on that one.
He might have that tonight.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Why not? Let's go.
Let's go over. Yeah. So that means he gets 3 hits in each game this weekend.
That's what he's on par for.
That's what he's on pace for, yeah. I'll take the over on that one.
If he gets 4 tonight, okay, great. I'm feeling good.
Oh, 4 tonight, you should be. You'd be jamming. He's got to get, you know, 5 more in 2 games.
5 more in 2 games. That's nothing for Bobby Witt, right?
That's a Saturday, 6 o'clock
You throw a grain
start.
Of sand up there, he's hitting that thing out of the ballpark. Let's go.
No kidding.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.